Taking your Bibles and turn with us to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians in chapter number 10 tonight. I desire your prayers as we stand. God has slowed us down this week for sure and have pondered on some things. I guess pretty deep subjects, but I'm thankful that he's still speaking and he's still letting it be known. I'm glad God's still got a word in this day, ain't you? I'm glad he's still speaking to his people. And that ought to bless you up one side and down the other, and just to know that God still wants you to know what he said. Amen. And so anyways, 2 Corinthians in chapter 10. I'm going to read just a few verses here tonight, but I do ask you to stand, stretch your legs for a minute, and let's honor and reverence the reading of his word. How many is thankful for this precious book tonight? I'm glad I've got a copy. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if you're there tonight, somebody say amen. The Bible said in verse number 1, "Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am based among you, but being absent, I am bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. For though we walk," now listen, "for though we walk and that in the flesh, we do not war the flesh." Verse number 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." Verse 7, "Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ's." Verse 8, "For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification, and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible." That's all I want to read tonight. Let us pray. Father, we ask you, God, tonight, God, as you've led us through the scriptures this week, and God, you've planted us, God, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, God, we ask you, God, that you would help us to stand tonight, God, upon the solid foundation, the rock which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray tonight, God, as I feel, Lord, so unworthy to stand behind this sacred desk. God, I ask you, Father, tonight, Lord, to crucify my flesh and speak to us, God, and that through me, God, and that as a vessel. God, I pray, Lord, I'm willing, God, my flesh is weak, but my spirit is willing. And God, I pray, Father, tonight that you'd help us, God, to stand upon the authority of your word. And God, I pray tonight, Father, that if there's somebody here tonight that's warring, somebody that's battling, Father, I want to give them a good news, God, and that from a far country that you've put in our hearts this week. God, would you help us to do that? Would you help us to deliver the message? And God, we'll give you all praise, glory, and the honor for it all. And we ask all these things in the lovely name of Jesus. And all God's people said together, amen and amen. Tonight, with the help of God, I want to preach on a simple thought. Might be simple, but it's, I guess you can go with this far as this with this thought as you could go, I guess, tonight. But I just want to give you what God's give us and get out of the way. And I pray tonight it would help somebody. If it does not do anything else, I pray that it would help you, and that in this day that we live, to be prepared. I want to say, dear friend, that if we would look at this scripture and understand what the Apostle Paul is writing and what he's saying to the Corinth church, we can understand that Paul is saying that we are in a battle. We are in a war. And tonight I want to say that if you do not see these things, if you don't see the battle, if you don't see the war on a day-to-day basis, then friend, I want to say that you are spiritually blind and that to the things that are before us. As a child of God, tonight I want to say that the battle is real. I want to say tonight, friend, that it's only going to get more fierce and it's only going to get tougher along the way. But tonight I want to preach you this thought and that concerning in that verse number 4. And that the Apostle Paul wrote and put pen to paper and said, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Let me read verse 5 one more time and then we'll give you the message. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought, and that to the obedience of Christ." Tonight I want to preach with the help of the Lord on this thought of preparation for battle. I want to say tonight, dear friend, that as we turn on our television set, and I just want to expose some things before we really get into Scripture tonight. I want to say that we can turn on our television sets tonight, and we can turn to Fox News or any news station, and tonight I want to say you would be bombarded and absolutely plagued within your living room and that with the unsettledness of the world that we live in today. I want to say, dear friend, that we're living in a world. Friend, I want to say that one thing, it is led and fueled and that by the media. And I want to say, dear friend, that when one thing happens, it is exploded into something much greater. And friend, because of these things that is happening, I want to say, dear friend, that there's evil that lurks behind your television set. I want to say, dear friend, that there's things that can distract your mind and captivate your heart and get you in a very bad place. Friend, we must understand and realize that we need to make preparation because the battle is at hand. If you have not already began making preparation, then I want to prepare you tonight. Friend, I want you to see that the evil of this world, the Bible said that the heart of man is evil and continuously wicked. Can I say, dear friend, tonight that, friend, as these generations goes on and as the world continues to turn, friend, we're only going to see things wax worse and worse. You may say, "Well, preacher, I just believe," and I want to clear something up tonight before we go any further. And that I love, and that, dear friend, what the book of Chronicles says. And it said, "For if my people which are called by my name," and that, dear friend, "would turn from their wicked ways and seek my face," he said that he would hear from heaven, and he said, "I will heal their land." I want to see, and I want you to understand something, friend, and that to be true, though, about this scripture, and that God is waiting and willing, and that to stretch out a hand of help and that for the church. Friend, God is wanting to send revival amongst His people. God is wanting to stir up and that the gift that God has put within you because it begins to make us even more prepared for the battle that is at hand. But friend, I want you to understand, oh yes, He will lengthen our days if we cast our eyes to the God in the skies and trust Him with all of our heart. Oh, but friend, I want to say that after generation and generation, even in the book of the Old Testament, we find a generation that came by that did not know God. And friend, we're coming to a day, and the day is at hand where generations are coming in and they do not know who God is. They don't know His Spirit. They don't know His power. they don't know His person. Oh, they don't know how perfect that our God is. Oh, but friend, yet, and that they're looking to these little G gods. Friend, they're looking to the media. Oh, they're looking to the president. Oh, they're looking to the leaders of this carnal world, and that for help. And tonight I want to say, and that if you want to be prepared for what's laying ahead and the battle that is at hand, then friend, I want to say firstly that you must make preparation for the battle that is before us. And by doing so tonight, firstly, I want to say, and we're going to get right into the scripture, and that the Bible said that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Can I say something here tonight? Friend, it is not the carnal things of this life. It's not what we fight with. If you're a born again believer of Jesus Christ tonight, friend, a six-shooter revolver is not your weapon of warfare. Tonight, I want to say, dear friend, listen, an AK-47 is not your weapon of warfare. Friend, I want to say unto you tonight, friend, hey, you say, well, preacher, you don't believe in defending what you've got with guns. I've got a gun in my house, dear friend, and I'm prepared to stand and protect my family if evil was to come. But friend, can I say this unto you? Tonight I also realize, friend, that if I would be prepared for the battle, friend, if I would pray down, and that, dear friend, a shield and hedge of protection, I believe God will honor what we pray and what we ask with an earnest and a humble heart. But friend, to make preparation for the battle, then firstly we must do one thing, is we must be equipped with the right ammunition. With the right ammunition. What do you mean tonight, preacher? I want to say, dear friend, that the weapons, hey, I don't care how many boxes of 22 shells you hoard up and put in your safe. Amen. Friend, I don't care how many rounds of ammunition or how many guns or knives or any of these things that you've got. But tonight I want to say the greatest weapon that you possess as a child of God, friend, is simply knowing Jesus. Friend, you are dangerous. And that in the sight of Satan and all that hell has and that before it. Friend, I want to say that if you are a child of God and the blood's been applied to your heart and you've got Jesus in you, and the Bible said greater is He who lives within us than he who lives in the world. Friend, the Bible said if He be for us, then who could be against us? And this morning, friend, this evening I want to say that you must be equipped with the right ingredients and have the right ammunition, and that in preparation for the battle ahead, you better have Jesus, is all I've got to say. Firstly tonight is you better know Jesus, because if you don't, in this day we live, the Bible said that the adversary is waiting to sift you as wheat. He's as a roaring lion, and that walking to and fro, and that, dear friend, roaring, if you will, seeking a who He may devour. But the Bible tells me also, dear friend, that if we draw nigh unto God, that He would draw nigh unto us. He said, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Friend, because the Bible said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And tonight I want to say that if you just take up the cross of Calvary with Jesus in your heart, friend, there's more power on our side. There's more power on our side. I feel a little bit of preach coming on tonight, Brother Steve, and that we've got more on our side, friend, than anything the devils of hell and Satan can muster up tonight. Amen. I want to say, with Jesus on our side, with the Lord on our side, there's no enemy, there's no weapon formed against us that shall prosper. But thank God, when you go in preparation for battle, then you must be equipped. The Bible tells us, dear friend, and that in the book of Ephesians in chapter number 6, and that the Apostle Paul wrote in verse number 10, and he said, finally,
my brethren, be strong in the Lord and that in all the power of His might. Friend, can I tell you tonight, and just go on record and give you this one for free, but there's no one more powerful than my God. There ain't nobody like Him. There's nobody that can match Him. There's nobody that can stand against Him and hold a candle to His power and to His might. He is, I want to say thank God, He is the sovereign supreme power of this world. And if He can hold the world and the universe, Dennis, in the palm of His hand, oh, there ain't nothing can come against my God tonight and overcome. There's nothing tonight that can come against Him and overcome. I made a comment one time in revival, and I'm going to say it tonight and move on very quickly. Don't get sore at me. But tonight I want to say that if Satan thinks he can overcome the kingdom of heaven and God, then he's just plumb silly and stupid. Amen. He knows he's grabbing for the last bits of air that he's got left. The Bible said he's the prince of the powers of the air. And friend, he's doing everything he can right now, dear friend, to bring us down and discourage us and put a roadblock in front of us, and dear friend, try to get us off the right way and the right path. But friend, I'm a firm believer tonight, friend, that once you get on the path that has been led before us with a streak of blood, friend, I want to say unto you tonight, you just follow the blood-stained banner, friend, that oozed out of our Savior's body, friend, that He gave freely. You just follow those footsteps that Jesus led before us. And Paul said, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against, listen, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, and against rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able, that you may be able, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt with the truth, and then having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, but above all, taking of the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with the perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Friend, tonight I want to say stand on Jesus in preparation of the battle. Friend, I want to say David stood over in 1 Samuel in chapter 17, and there before the army of Israel, and Saul was standing back and the Israelites were standing back, and here came one by the name of Goliath, and he stood out and he smote his chest. Oh, listen, he said, I'm a dog. Friend, he thought he was something special. He thought he was something powerful. He thought he was something really great. He did. Oh, but honey, there was David with God all over him. Friend, God all in him. Friend, I thank God tonight. Friend, there's more and that we've got with us. Amen. And David stood back and he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defileth the name of my living God? Friend, in that moment, David made a decision, and he had preparation for the battle, and he was equipped exactly with what he needed for the battle that was ahead. Listen to me tonight. And that you say, well, David didn't have much. It was a sling and five smooth stones. That's all he needed. He didn't need five. He just needed one, by the way. And friend, when he reared back that thing, and the devil himself stood off down in the valley of iron, stared down the barrel of that old slingshot, if you will. Friend, can I say thank God? And that I may not have, listen, a lot of muster, and that in this flesh, to battle and war with these hands. But thank God for the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of me, that lives on the inside of you. And you may feel small, and you may feel insignificant, church, but thank God the God of glory is bigger than anything ever has been. And when the giant steps off in your life and looks down your barrel, you just cock that hammer back, honey, the old gospel gun, if you will, and say, hold on, Satan, I've got more where that came from. And honey, I said, let her rip, her tater chip, and just let the devil know that we have already made preparation tonight. Can I say tonight that I believe with all my heart? Hey, I didn't know I was going to preach like this tonight. But friend, can I say unto you, friend, that the devil quakes and trembles at an armed Christian. I heard one of the finest messages I believe I've ever heard preached in my lifetime by Brother Dr. Larry Brown, who was the pastor of Victory Baptist Church in Augusta, Georgia, and Augusta, South Carolina, for a long time. And old Larry stood in that before a college, a bunch of young adults down here in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And dear friend preached one of the finest messages that a man of God, I believe, could ever preach. And he preached on armed and dangerous. And dear friend, I want to say that Larry said it right. You may have the appearance. If you have a gun, dear friend, it simply is not dangerous just by its looks. A gun's not dangerous simply just because of how big the barrel is. A gun is not dangerous just simply by how many holes is in the chamber. But friend, what makes a gun dangerous is when it's loaded and when it's armed. Friend, can I say tonight that a Christian that is not equipped, a Christian that's backslid on the Lord, a Christian that is not in fellowship with the Lord, and there's a separation because of sin, friend, I want to say that you're just as dangerous as an unloaded gun. But when you put bullets in the chamber is when it becomes dangerous. And tonight, an equipped Christian is one of the most dangerous things in this walk of life to the enemy. David didn't look like much. He was a young boy. The Bible said he was ruddy. And he stood up before a 9-foot-tall giant. Said, who you think you are? Church, we have got the power within us. I love that old song that says, we've got the power in the name of Jesus. I want to say tonight, friend, that we do have the power. And a lot of Christians have forgotten that the power we possess is greater, friend, than anybody has ever seen. And that, dear friend, I want to say, dear friend, tonight, it's only powerful because of the power is supplied from the ultimate power. And friend, can I say tonight that there was a time and that when Christians, dear friend, was looked at and respected. And dear friend, hey, listen, people stood back in attention when a Christian walked through the streets of a town. Think about John and Peter and them boys when they come out of the upper room. And there was people standing all in the streets, and there was 3,000 got saved. And they walked on down the road, and here they healed this one. And here they healed this one. They walked up before the gate that was called Beautiful, and there was a lame man laying there begging for alms. And dear friend, John walked up and looked at him. And Peter walked up and looked at him. And friend, he'd laid there most of his life just trying to get a little bit, just trying to get some help. And then Peter looked down and said, he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise up and walk. That is the power that we have today. Oh, a preacher, you're not seeing them kind of things happen anymore. I want to say, dear friend, that we're still armed and dangerous if we would just continue to be equipped. I want to give you a few things and we'll be done tonight. Preparation for the battle. Friend, there must not only firstly be Jesus in your heart, but friend, you've got to be and go a praying. I want to say that we're losing a generation of prayers, prayer warriors. Friend, I'm going to tell you the only reason the front line strong is because the ones on their knees are praying. Amen. And when the front line breaks down, and dear friend, can I say they had a front line in war and they've got a rearward in war. And friend, the only thing that makes both of those things strong in a spiritual life is the preparation of prayer. Of those that's prayed before you, of those that's going to pray after you, of the one, dear friend, that's going to shower you with prayer. Honey, I want to say one thing. It makes preaching. I want to say it's the Spirit of God. But friend, what about the prayer warrior? Raring back and saying, "Preach on, preacher. I'm praying for you, preacher." Friend, I want to say, dear friend, what gives us the unction? Dear friend, hey, the prayer of the saint of God. Make an intercession. God touch him. God help him. What about your lay members that's out witnessing and doing these things for God? Without the prayer warriors on the front line, oh, there would be a breakdown. And friend, I want to say tonight, oh, it would be a shame and a tragedy for the front line to disintegrate, because it's then when the enemy crosses over into territory of home. Whenever the British invaded, they yelled and said, "The British is coming, the British is coming." But you know what had done happened before the sense? Brother Scott had done made preparation for the battle. They knew they was coming. And when he said, "The British is coming, the British is coming," that sounded the alarm. When the prayer warrior goes to praying, Brother Steve, tonight I want to say that they're just sounding out the warning. They're calling out for reinforcement. They're calling out for help from a far country. And tonight I want to say, you got to go a-praying. You got to go a-praying for preparation of the battle. I want to say that the book of 1 Thessalonians, and that teaches us and reminds us and tells us, oh, thank God, thank God. It says to verse 16 of chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians, "Rejoice evermore and to pray without ceasing." The book of James, and that I believe it is, it tells us that the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Friend, I want to say prayer has broke down walls. Dear friend, prayer has bent the bars of prisons. Prayer, dear friend, listen, and that has rescued countless sinners from a devil's hell, alcoholics from alcohol, and that drug addicts from drugs. Friend, prostitutes from the street corners. Friend, thank God that there is a power in that in prayer today. And when you go, you better go equipped with prayer tonight. The battle is at hand. Without the arson that we have of prayer, friend, boy, we ain't got much. The direct line to the commander-in-chief, if you will. The one who's calling the shots, the ones that's saying do this, and do the one that's saying and leading and guiding and directing us in the strategy of this war. We have a direct line. Scotty, I've never been to Vietnam. You've been there, my friend. You watch them old movies, and they say that they had them old bag phones, them telephones, and they'd call out for reinforcements or whatever it was they needed while they was on the front line. Friend, can I say tonight, dear friend, tonight, that we have a direct line to the commander-in-chief. the sergeant above sergeants. And friend, tonight I want to say that we had better exercise as a Christian that right of prayer tonight. If you want to see your people saved in the midst of the battle, then you better get to praying. Because when the battle's over, it's over. Do you hear me tonight? Pray without ceasing. I want to say that you better go a-praying, but you better go equipped with the preparation, of the gospel. Can I say tonight, friend, there's no greater weapon. Prayer and the sword. I don't know about you tonight, but I've thought about this before. You see, you can just envision a front line of an army. A lot of times in the olden days, they would stand with muskets drawn and they could see the enemy just over the hill. Tonight, what about an army just walking forth with the Word of God? Can I tell you it's the greatest army that's ever stood? Can I tell you nations are going to fall?
Amen.
Kingdoms are going to crumble. But dear friend, the great army of the living God is going to go on. And tonight I want to say thank God that I am a soldier in the army of God. And tonight I want to say that you better go and that equipped in preparation with the gospel. The gospel of peace. The Word of God. Dear friend, I want to say we've done talked about the Word. But friend, it's not only the lamp under our feet and the light under our path, but dear friend, it is our shield. Friend, it is everything that we need. It is our GPS in the field when we don't know which way to go. Friend, He has given us the instructions that we need for along the way. For our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. What we've been given are mighty through God. To what extent, Pastor? To the pulling down of strongholds. David stood with the army after he'd done been anointed king. I'm about to hush. You just bear with me. But David stood with the army of Israel, and I love this story. This is one of my favorite stories in the Word of God. And he stood with the army of Israel, and they looked at him. He was the leader. He was the king. And friend, they looked to David, and David wasn't looking to himself, but he was looking to the higher power. And the Bible said that David inclined the Lord. He inclined his ear. He hearkened, he listened to what God had to say. And the Philistine army had been at Israel. They had been knocking on their door. They had came at them time and time again. I believe through the Philistine army we see a good picture of Satan and what he's doing to the church today. It's a constant. It is a constant warfare. Friend, if you go home tonight and you lay your head down on your pillow and you don't fight the devil, I'd be worried. If you wake up in the morning and you go throughout your day and you don't fight in war against the devil, friend, there's something wrong. I fight him every day. I fight him every day. Brother Steve, I'll say it like this. Sometimes I feel like it's every second of every day. And there was somebody told me, Brother Sean, one time they said, Preacher, you just got everything all together. But you don't see me when I'm on my knees. You don't see me when I feel like my back is against the wall. And I'm in my prayer closet, and I'm praying over my family, and I'm praying for my mama and my daddy and my cousin Patrick and my folks that's dear to me that I want to be in the battle with me. I need them by my side. Those moments when Satan says, I know what you used to be. You ain't nothing. You ain't no preacher. I've heard it all. You ain't no pastor. You ain't no threat to hell. I have to be reminded that my weapons aren't carnal. You know what I'd like to do? And this is what I'd like to say, Brother Scotty.
When he comes and rears his old head, I'd like to just see him. I heard a preacher say, if you seen him, you'd die of cardiac arrest. And you may do it. But boy, I'd like to just... I don't think I'm wrong there. All the destruction he's caused. Sometimes I just like to whoop him one good time. But then I'm reminded that if you want to whoop him, you're going to have to stay in the battle. Fight a little longer. Go over a few more hills and valleys. His days are coming. How many can shout tonight and say amen? His days are coming, church. Keep fighting the battle. Don't give up. Don't give in. Keep on keeping on for the glory of God. Because one day the kingdom of hell and Satan will fall. Amen. It will. That makes me want to run a lap tonight. Casting down the imagination of every high thing and exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought. Can I say tonight, dear friend, that one day all things will be brought into captivity under the feet of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Everything you fought, everything you battled, everything you faced, every demon of hell that has stood at your bedside and warred against you, dear friend, one of these days, somebody help me tonight, it will be put under His feet one day. Thank God. You better be making preparations for the battle. Come on, pray tonight. There's some coming. Come on, pray. I'm done. Zane, come on, get us a verse of song. Make your preparations. Pray like you've never prayed. Go with God. Go with Him all over you tonight. And know this, that Satan's a loser. Satan's not going to win. He's going to be overcome. The battle is ours. The victory is the Lord's. And tonight I want you to know with all of my heart, God's put in us. The Lord is on your side. As they sang a verse of song tonight, if you need to come and ain't already come, won't you come and pray tonight as they find a verse.